They'll know we are Christians by our love. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe.
If your life is designed to accomplish great things, but love isn't there, you're doing it for nothing. Nobody needs you to burn yourself out. Nobody needs you to give everything that you have. No one needs your wisdom to solve the secrets of the universe. Nobody needs your words specifically as a unique contribution. What they need is your love.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
What would you say you're known for? Maybe it's your accomplishments at the workplace, your wealth. Some are known as being a gossip or as an angry, bitter person. But wouldn't it be nice to be known as loving people? That's actually what the Christian should be known for, and today on The Balanced Word, we'll be encouraged in that direction. But not only that, Pastor Dave Rolfe will also have us consider what will happen if we don't love. All of this is just part of our ongoing study in 1 Corinthians. We open chapter 13 together now, as Pastor Dave offers his first point.
So first of all, communication. Communication's important. To develop the capacity to say things in a way that people understand, whether it's a linguistic adjustment or whether it's just being eloquent and having powerful capacities to speak, that's something that we value and treasure. We appreciate it when there is someone who can just turn a phrase and say things just right. The ability to communicate. But he says, if you have unlimited ability to communicate, but that what ultimately comes out is not love, then you're just like a ringing cymbal. You're just like a loud buzz of white noise. And this is important because to all of us, we think we have something to say. We have things that we want to communicate. We want to be heard. We want to be listened to. And yet so often the problem with our communication is a lot of communication comes across, but people aren't hearing that love that God tells us to have at the center of our communication, to speak the truth in love. And so we can say things that may be valid, but no one hears it ultimately. And, you know, think about all the words that you speak in a day, then in a week, and in your life. Maybe all the things you've written to others and all the things that you've tried to bring across. How would you like it if everything that you said to other people, it just sounded like blah, 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 blah? Well, it does if you don't have love. If they can't hear you saying, I love you, in the middle of every, even if you're saying, I love you, but they don't feel it, they don't know that there's that love there, then everything else that you've communicated, you've just thrown it away. You've just wasted your time. It may be beautiful. It may be eloquent. They may even tell you, boy, that was really great the way you said that. But as far as the Lord's concerned, the fruit of those gifts, the fruit of that communication, it's zip, zero, zilch, without love. It's just noise. You're just making noise. But then he goes on, hey, if you have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, you're smart. You really understand things. You have a perception that's greater than most other people's. You've gone through life. You've learned from your experiences, and you're a wealth of knowledge. You get it. You look and you understand, and you have so much to offer. And yet, so often, people who know the most, people might even be impressed with what they know, but often you'll find that you've learned the answers to all the tough questions, and no one's asking you those questions. No one really cares what you know. No one really cares what an expert you are. No one really is impressed with how wise you are. Why? Because ultimately, if you build up that wisdom without love, then that wisdom doesn't do anything for you. As someone has said, people will never care what you know until they know that you care. And that's what Paul is saying here. You can end up being a zero, being nothing, as a wealth of knowledge and understanding all mysteries. And then he says, you can have all faith so that you can remove mountains. You can do great things, great accomplishments. You can point at buildings and say, I designed that building. I built it. If it wasn't for me, it wouldn't be there. I was involved in this ministry and that activity and this thing. Look at me. Look what I did. Look how much I accomplished. I knew about it before anyone else did. I believed when no one thought it could be possible. I had this great faith and confidence, and look what God has done. And the evaluation that rattles back is, what, are you trying to say you're something? You're nothing. Because I don't care how great you are, I don't care what you've accomplished, if I don't know that you care for me, if I don't see the love of God flowing through your life, so what? That you've done great things in the past. Why should we care? Why should that matter? All of your vision, all of your wisdom, all of your expertise, it's wasted. Nobody wants to hear it. No one's impressed with that. The world isn't looking for someone who's smarter. When people see how smart you are, they may just resent the fact that you're smart. People hate people who always have answers. People love people who always care, who always love them. What Paul is saying here is you can have all those gifts so that greatness exudes from you. You can be a kingmaker yourself. You can be the one who was there to help people get going, and now look, they're doing great things. But ultimately, if they don't see the love of God in your life, it really doesn't matter. No one's really all that impressed ultimately. And then finally in verse 3, if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, a good thing to do. And even if I give my body to be burned, nobody's really asking you to do that, by the way. And I'm not sure what it would accomplish, but if you just completely burned yourself out to do things for people, to do things for God, but have not love, it's not going to do you any good. It profits nothing. Now, at the end of your life, wouldn't you like to know that you made a difference? Wouldn't you like to look back and say, it's been a great life. It's been a blessing to be where I've been, to know who I've known, to experience what I've experienced. Of course, we all want that significance about our lives. We all live our lives hoping that somewhere we're going to leave some footprints, something that matters, some kind of a legacy. That's why these verses scare me so much, because I do a lot of talking and communicating, and is it really just clang, clang, blah, blah, blah? And I do a lot of studying, and I try to understand things and explain things, and I try to have faith to, you know, to move mountains, to make differences, and am I really nothing? And I really do give of what I have and what I am, and sometimes I feel like my body is burning out. Do I want that to be for no profit? To not matter at all? But that's what Paul is saying here. That's what God is saying to each of us. Look, love is the main thing. And if you get past that to other stuff, you're wasting your time and your energy. If your life is designed to accomplish great things, but love isn't there, you're doing it for nothing. Nobody needs you to burn yourself out. Nobody needs you to give everything that you have. No one needs your wisdom to solve the secrets of the universe. Nobody needs your words specifically as a unique contribution. What they need is your love. And what you need is to understand that you are loved by God and that He gives us an opportunity to love each other. But when we get past that, we're Ephesus. It's not that we don't love. I think some people come across as really unloving, but they really are very loving people if you get to know them and you dig down deep enough. But on the surface, there's this crust, there's this meanness, there's this anger, there's this arrogance, and that's what we see. And deep down inside, some of those people are very loving people. But what the Lord is saying here is, no, the expression of me working in your life has to be, I care, I love, I am loved, and I extend that love. And if that doesn't happen, all the rest of it is going to leave you alone and empty and wondering what you just did with your life, wondering why it hasn't been different than that. How come when I was younger, it was so easy to be loving, and as I'm older, it's become so much more difficult? Sometimes that's the case. Now, there are some people who are just examples of God's love even as they grow older. There are some people I know, the older they get, the more loving they are. And it just seems like they exude that love of God. That I don't know a lot else, and they don't remember a lot that they want to remember, but I get they love me. They care. You know, I think of the Apostle John, who as a young man was one of the sons of thunder, fiery guy. As an old man, he became more known for love than anything else. There, as he was retired and 100 years old or so, he had just written the book of Revelation, which would wear out anyone. I mean, you read the book of Revelation, you're worn out. He saw it happen and wrote it down. And after that, it seemed like he was done preaching. But still, they say as an old man, they would carry him in on a chair and put him in front of the church. And John would sit there and he would look out at the people and he would say, "Beloved, love one another." In other words, God loves you. Love each other. That was all he had to say. Karl Barth, who was arguably one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century, I have issues with him, but I love him. When he was an old man, people talked to him and said, "Dr. Barth, what is the greatest theological truth that you've come up with? How would you summarize everything that you've learned in a lifetime of studying God?" And he said, "Well, it was something I learned from my mom. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's the kind of old dude I want to be. There are some people who, sad to say, as they get older, it seems like the love dwindles. And some people who are older become mean and crotchety, ornery. Hey, life does that to you, I understand. But how sad if we lose that which matters most because we're tired of life, because we've given all that we can give, and then the thing that matters most in our old age, we lose it. Again, you know what love is. If you have a dog, you know, I don't own dogs. I love dogs, but I don't own them simply because I do love them. I had kids because kids generally outlive you. Dogs usually don't. I don't like that prospect. But dogs are such pure love. You know, when you come home, they're just excited to see you. And they're jumping up and for you to notice them. And if you let them lick your face or whatever, it's like, that's the purest love. The Greek word for worship is actually a word that comes from dog. The Greek word for dog. It's cuddling up and just being close to God. That's what worship is about. And, you know, as we draw to the end of our lives, We've got to start thinking, you know, is that what I want to communicate? When people see me, do I want them to know that I'm glad to see them? Do I want them to know that they matter to me, that I care about them? Or do I just want to endure? Do I just want to make it through and try to last and hang in there? Is that what I want to settle for? Again, what kind of an impression do you want to leave? Where do you want it to ultimately say what the worth and the contribution of your life is? Is it that you said great things? Is it that you understood great things? Is it that you accomplished great things? Is it that you gave yourself in a deep and a personal way? Or is it, I saw love. I saw love in you. And I didn't always understand what you said. And sometimes your ideas were sort of convoluted. And sometimes you had faith in the wrong stuff. And a lot of times you gave your body to be burned and you would have been better off not. But I knew that you loved. I saw God's love in your life. And that's the ultimate branding. That's the ultimate picture of what a life well lived is all about. You know, it's important that we teach the right things. It's important that we understand the Word of God. It's important that we serve Him. All of those things really matter. One of the things that's really puzzling to me, though, is sometimes it seems like the people who care the most about being right are people who seem to love the least. There are people who the goal of their life is to correct people who have wrong theology. And I wonder how much more effective they would be. They're caring about something really good and right. Man, I believe absolutely the veracity of God's word and faithfulness to what he teaches. They're so important, but I wonder if we could communicate that to people who are wrong in a way that shows that we really love them, how much further we would get. Because the truth is, I think all the people who are out there screaming about how wrong everyone else is, they're not changing anyone. Why? Because if you have all wisdom and all knowledge and so much faith that you can move mountains, but without love, you're nothing. Nobody hears what you have to say. It's just making noise, sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. How about the people around us in our lives? How about our loved ones, people in our own family? We're giving them a lot of words. And we want to pass our wisdom on to them. We want them to correct their ways. We've given a lot. We've sacrificed a lot for them. And that's hard. When you look at your family and see what you've poured out for them and what you've tried to do to them, and to ask that ultimate question, is love at the center? Do they really know that you love them? Because if they don't, all the talk doesn't matter. All the wisdom doesn't matter. All the giving doesn't matter. It's love. And as we go through this chapter and take a deeper look at it, let's remember the point of these first three verses is if you don't get this, you don't get anything. If you don't get this just right off your life right now, it's not going to matter. It doesn't matter what else you do until love becomes the essence of who we are. Nothing else that we do will ever matter. It's sad for me to think my life so far, how many times I gave my body to be burned without love. How many times I studied and understood and believed without love. How many times I put beautiful things into words that are wonderful things from God's scripture, but His love didn't come out. And what he writes across that is, you just wasted a lot of years. You just wasted a lot of effort. You wasted your words because love didn't show through. I can't do anything about what's been in the past, and neither can you. But what we can do is, looking forward to the future, saying, God, I don't ever want my words, my wisdom, my faith, my service, my sacrifice to ever be wasted again. I want your love to be at the center of all of it. It's not that hard. It really comes when you understand how much it matters. You know what love is. Don't give me the old Foreigner's lyrics. You know what love is. You know when you're being loving and you know when you aren't. And everyone else does too. We're not fooling anyone. It's just a question if you want your life to matter or not. You want your words to matter or not, and your wisdom. And that's laid out for us here. And this is the most important lesson that we'll learn as Christians. Because if we don't learn it, everything else we learn is down the drain, down the tubes. Back in the early days of Calvary, there was a guy, Ken Gullickson, that wrote a song called Charity that was basically the words of this chapter put into a song. The chorus of the song said, if I have not charity, if love does not flow from me, I am nothing. Jesus, reduce me to love. And that's what Jesus wants to do, to get the other stuff out of the way so that we're reduced to just love, to caring. That's what lasts when everything else is gone. That's my prayer for each of us. That's my prayer for us as a church, that we would be known for love, that each of us personally would be known for caring and loving, that's how we would interact, that's how we would share, that's how we would teach, that's how we would raise our kids and our grandkids, that's how we would treat our spouses. It was like love really matters, and without it, nothing else does. My prayer is, Jesus, reduce us to love. Take us back to that first place that we were. We've left our first love. Get back to it. Stop letting it be crowded out of our lives.
You're listening to Pastor Dave Rolfe on The Balanced Word and part of a study in 1 Corinthians. Hear it again online at thebalancedword.com or give us a call and request a CD at 949-362-7475. That's 949-362-7475. Pastor Dave has taught through the entire Bible, and we put it onto a USB for you. It's our featured resource right now, available for a donation of $30 or more. Request it right now at thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. It takes a team to bring these shows to the radio every day, and your financial and prayerful support is really an investment, helping to reach thousands with the truth of God's Word. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Again, go to thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and loves to meet and greet his radio listeners. Visit us on a Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, or 11:30. Those outside the area can live stream at ccpacifichills.org. Would you like someone to pray for you? Send that prayer request over to us at thebalancedword.com by clicking on Contact or call 949-362-7475. Pastor Dave shares helpful and encouraging one-minute messages on Facebook and Instagram. Check it out at CC Pacific Hills. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe once again.
If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you don't really have a basis. You know love because you know what you're missing. But God loves you deeply, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to place his love in your heart so that then you are able to love as he does. Then you're able to do other things empowered by his love. And if you want a relationship with him, he loves you, and he wants to know you personally. Jesus does love you. He really does. and he wants to know you personally and intimately. Don't leave here tonight and keep looking for love in all the wrong places. The right place to find love is with Jesus Christ, who died for you, who loves you. For the rest of us, let's just ask God to keep love at the forefront of everything that we do, to remember that if that isn't our theme, then we're wasting our lives.
We'll resume our study of 1 Corinthians on the next Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.